Anyway, is that, I think that might be Debbie Bacciacalupi on the line. All right, Debbie, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, Mr. Hal Shirtless.
Well, how are you? Are you in Northern California right now, or are you someplace else in the world?
I am. I am in traffic in the Sacramento area.
Oh,
beautiful
city. Trying
to get over to the coast. And I have to tell you, Hal, I do not miss living in this area at all, because where our ranch is, you know, to go 30 minutes or 30 miles, it takes less than 30 minutes, but not here, not in the cities. But
right.
That's where we're all heading, is living in these cities where there's lots of people, lots of traffic, lots of buildings, and not lots of freedom.
Well, if you have to, what's the group called? The ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiative, says by 2050, 80% of people in the whole world will live in cities. So obviously that's one of these socialist plans. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. But let me introduce you. I know you've been a guest before, but Debbie is a rancher. She's in Northern California. She lives where the horrible fires took place last year. She's an instructor at Camp Constitution. She was there last year, and she did an incredible presentation on Agenda 21 and the California fires, which got, I don't know, almost close to 60,000 views, but only two marriage proposals. What's going on? Only two.
I'm pretty picky, Hal.
Anyway, this year she was an instructor again, and last year you think you had to leave early. You left on a Thursday, but this way I think we got you for most the whole week. And you come up with a great idea, and it was called the Agenda 21 Challenge. So why don't you talk about that? Because you don't have to be a camper at Camp Constitution to be involved with this project that's sort of in the development stage at this point.
Yeah, it definitely is in the development stage. And next year, I plan on being at the Camp Constitution the entire time, Hal, because what you've got going on is just so amazing. And whenever I talk about Camp Constitution, people all over are saying, what a great idea. We need that here in California. We need that here in Montana. Wherever I talk about it, people are saying we need it. So I hope you've shared about the greatness that Camp Constitution is. And it's fun and celebratory. And what we've done with this challenge, this Agenda 21 challenge that Hal and I are morphing into something great, we hope, is to encourage the young people to get involved in this thing called What is Agenda 21 and How is it being implemented? And how you kind of alluded to it by saying that by the year 2050, over 80% of the world's population will live in cities. That's absolutely correct. And I know for a fact, because I heard firsthand at the United Nations Habitat 9 conference in Malaysia last year, that their goal is 80% of all the world's population will live in mega cities or mega regions where we walk, bike, and take public transportation everywhere we go. There will be a limit on private property under one of the tenets of social equity, not all people are lucky enough or fortunate enough or work hard enough or live in a place that respects and values private property. So therefore, just like this whole new gender movement where, you know, you've got bathrooms that are neutral, you have now meetings where medical meetings, I just read as a professional meeting planner this morning, Hal, that where medical meetings now are going to require that if there's no more mantles being panels of all men, they have to be
or
women.
Mantles,
they have
yeah.
to, yeah.
And by the way, how do they spell women? Is it W-Y-M-X-N or something like that?
Or is it, oh, poor me? I don't know. I'm not sure how you spell that. But, you know, here in California, there's, I think, 20, something like 20 different genders. And the city of Berkeley, you can no longer use in their legislation.
Only 20? You people are behind. There's 57
be
in New York. You fascists.
No,
wow.
I think it is 57. I've heard of writing, and nobody knows. That's what's wrong with this whole agenda. It's confusing, and people don't know what's up and down and right and left and right and wrong anymore. And that's why at Camp Constitution, we're trying to give young And adults too, Hal. Young people, a foundation. And one of the foundations that I'm super passionate about is the truth, and the truth about what is United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, a.k.a. the 2030 Agenda, a.k.a. that by the year 2050, all people will be living in cities. I mean, I hope we're making a circle out of this. And the challenge that we have, and I hope everybody just wants to get involved in this, is a GoFundMe page. And I just sent the link, Hal. I hope I did it correctly this first time I've done a GoFundMe challenge and a link. And what it is, and hopefully, Hal, you can put it on Camp Constitution.
Right,
and
we'll
we can
put
share it.
Yeah, this is being live streamed on Facebook. It's on my Facebook channel, WSMNAM 1590. You can go there. But I'll put a link to this to the GoFundMe site, and we'll do an article on our blog and do the same thing there.
Awesome. And what it is we have given these at Camp Constitution. I checked in with Hal and said, hey, Hal, I want to do a scholarship for a camper, a young student, anywhere between teenage to or junior high to college and anywhere in between. For one camper to come forward who wants to take on the challenge of exposing, educating, and getting their community to act against UN Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. And one student raised his hand, and then two more students raised their hand. And by the time Camp Constitution was over, we had within just 24 hours, 10 students, Hal, coming forward saying, I want to be a part of this challenge. So my $500 for one student is now $5,000. Mm-hmm. And so we've already got closer to $7,000 donated already.
Wow.
Because the more people hear about this, the more they're excited about this. Because one thing that we notice across the United States when it comes to Sustainable Development and Agenda 21 and the 2030 Agenda and the Green New Deal, most people have no clue. And yet it's the future of, you know, these youth, future generations who are going to be most impacted by the negative impacts of such a monstrance, or as George Herbert Walker Bush called Agenda 21, a mammoth plan. And Nancy Pelosi said we just have to pass it in order to find out what
That was health care, right, yeah.
But it was her H. Conrad 353, and then President Clinton, and I know you know this, Hal, already, President Clinton's executive order 12852, the President's Council on Sustainable Development, in partnership with Vice President Al Gore, which is the reason why Al Gore keeps shoving down our throats this thing called man-made anthropogenic global warming. And I heard how he's going to make a bundle of money off of, you know, fake meat. Because meat, my cows, somehow are so bad for planet Earth that we need to all move to a plant-based vegan or vegetarian diet.
Yeah, Debbie, you did a presentation at our camp this year. I think it was called Do You Really Think You're a Vegan? And it talks about all of the animal products in a lot of the things we use day to day. And it's
right.
going to be awfully hard to do that. But some of the things, so let's discuss some of the things that young people or anyone else can do to fight Agenda 21 or expose it in their community. And first off, I'll suggest that they visit their town's or city's website. And look for BuzzTur. You go to the planning board, or you might look at some other aspects of it. They may even have an environmental officer. Most towns do. And see if they're using these terms: smart growth, sustainable development. And they've changed
comprehensive,
complete streets. Now they have a street diet. That's what they're calling it now.
Yeah.
In fact, I live in the West Roxbury section of Boston, and there was an unfortunate fatality. Lady got hit by a car, she died, and these people move in. Like, all of a sudden, it's not about Agenda 21, it's about safety. So that's how they're selling it. And they want a four-lane, you know, it's a busy street, but four lanes, two on each side, to become down to three lanes. And you have businesses with big trucks unloading things. It's going to be a disaster. There's probably going to be more deaths, and they're going to put a nice little bike lane here. So
yeah, and that's because cars, privately owned cars, are in disfavor in
That's
the 21st
right.
century, according to these you know, technocrats, people, these social engineering, I want, they're ravenous they're ravenous about social engineering and telling you and me and all these young people how their future is going to go.
They look at the average person as an ant in an ant colony. I think there was a book about the ant. I think it was called The Ant Colony. But they just hear to mold us and conditioned like the Skinner, B.F. Skinner, conform, damn you, he would say. I want you to conform the way I want you to live. Meanwhile, they have their big mansions. They drive around in SUVs and they fly in private jets. So they're above this carbon footprint because they're the masters and mistresses of the universe and know what's best for us. But so there are some basic things that, go to your town's website or your city's website, get a letter to the editor of that local newspaper. Get to know the local reporter or the local editor and tell them your concerns. They will run letters that they may not agree with.
Especially if they're coming from young people.
Exactly.
This is why the UN, the United Nations, is using someone like Greta Thunberg, who is a 15-year-old who is going to get a doctorate, honorary doctorate, or is that what they call them?
Yes, and she's on a ship right now, and it's a solar ship, I guess. I don't know if it has sails. There's nothing new about wind power. That's how the pilgrims got here back in 1620. They had sailing ships, and they used wind, and that's what they're using. But I'm sure there's backup to this solar plant. I don't think they're going across the Atlantic simply relying on wind.
Well, for goodness sake, pal, talk about the hypocrisy. The ship is made from fossil fuel. The ship is made from livestock byproducts, and it's made with carbon. And those three items, carbon, fossil fuel, and livestock, are the most disinfavor in the 21st century. This is why they want to tax meat, they want to tax carbon, and they want to have fossil fuel free cities and carbon free cities. These are all the things that they're talking about.
That's right.
At the United Nations conferences. And as you know, I just got back from in December from the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change conference, where Greta Thunberg, this 15-year-old who has protested and is encouraging others to stop going to school to protest climate change, man-made climate change, and get everybody to dramatically change their lifestyle to a vegan diet, get out of your cars, walk, bike, take public transportation. If you live in the rural area, it's time for you to move into the cities where all the jobs are and where you can, have everything convenient. Greta Thunberg, who was sitting right in front of me, had a big old plastic bag, Hal, full of, a bunch of tchotchke type items that were handed out at the United Nations. All plastic, all, carbon, all from China. No joke. This conference was in Poland. All these things are from China. And she had her smartphone, livestock, carbon, and fossil fuel byproducts that made that smartphone. They're hypocrites, Hal.
I hate to use the word initiative. It's a challenge. Initiative is the term that the top-down people that think that these plans are being started locally. But she's sort of the poster girl, and I know they're using her. I'm sure she agrees with this because she's never heard another position. But there's a lot of young people that don't agree with this, and this is what this initiative is about. This is the answer to Greta Thunberg and these other props. Who was the guy down at the kid down in Tech, Florida? They made a big deal about him after the shooting, and he was.
That Catholic student. I can't remember.
No. That was in D.C. No, this was Florida. He either was in the area when the shootings happened, and then he became the poster boy for gun control, and he was flying around the country, and,
yes, I remember, but I don't remember his name.
Right, well, Greta is now, the young face of this movement, but there's a lot of young people out there. They know what they're being lied to.
And early on, Hal, sorry to interrupt, early on, David Suzuki, who is a quote-unquote scientist, who believes in or is pushing this man-made global warming narrative, very wealthy, owns an island up in somewhere up in Canada. Dr. Patrick Moore of Green, co-founder and former Greenpeace co-founder, Google and Facebook are trying to erase him because he doesn't believe what Greenpeace is up to anymore. And so anyway, David Suzuki is up. Patrick Moore would know where he lives, but he's another hypocrite. And his daughter was used in 1992 as, this youth, kind of like Greta, to come forward and say, oh, you adults. And they do. They say, you adults, You need to do what's right. It's my future that you are harming. And if we don't act now, and this is what Greta would say, or Greta Thunberg, she would say, if you don't act by the year 2030, hence how the 2030 agenda, which is Agenda 21, stepped up to the year 2030, meaning we've got to implement it even faster than we had originally planned. And I think it's because people are catching on
to this hoax of man-made global warming.
But if we don't act now, meaning dramatically change your lifestyle, like I said earlier, then life will be, planet Earth will be uninhabitable and unrecognizable. And that is a quote from the United Nations. It's a quote from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's a quote from Greta Thunberg. It's a quote from Al Gore. You know, so it's scare tactics.
We've been hearing this. You know, it's interesting. I'm 60 years of age, and I was a junior high school student in the early 70s. And I remember global cooling, the world's coming to an end. And then I remember a book called it was put out by Paul Early called The Population Bomb. I think it was late 60s. And he made these predictions that by the mid-70s, the seas would be dead, all kinds of gloomy scenarios, because he made a lot of money off this book. And he's still around, and he still looked as a credible individual.
He is. He's still at Stanford, and he has a project called, I just forgot it, but it's something about the man in the biosphere. Mm-hmm. And the United Nations quotes him constantly. They think that he's a credible scientist when, just like Al Gore, not a credible scientist. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe Al Gore is a scientist because he invented the internet. But
he taught Bobby Orr how to skate. Don't you know that?
But their 10-year predictions have all been wrong, way wrong. Florida, Miami should be underwater, according to Al Gore, by a couple years ago.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There's a regional magazine, Banker and Tradesman, and it's in New England based, and it mostly commercial real estate and people in the real estate business. And earlier this year, they ran an article about the prices of real estate prices in the coastal areas has dropped dramatically, 10-15%, because of the sea levels rising. And I thought, this has to be a bunch of baloney. So they went to, the article was based on one source and one source only. It was from a New York-based leftist organization that's sole purpose is to scare people about sea level rising. And I have some real people in the business, real estate business, that sell in the South Shore of Boston on the ocean. And I called him up and I said, have the prices dropped that much? He said, there's been a slight decrease, but he said it has got nothing to do with people worried about the sea levels rising.
That's totally exaggerated.
It was a lie. So they actually ran my letter, and I said, what you need to do is go to credible scientists, and I mentioned Professor Willie Soon right here locally. You know, I had Professor Willie Soon give me some updated information. And it's interesting, Willie would not say, he cannot predict. He said it's impossible to predict anything 100 years out. So he couldn't say that the sea levels will only rise an inch or half an inch or they'll lower an inch. He said, but in 100 years, there's been a sea level rise of about an inch. And he has a great sense of humor. He says, if you can't step back an inch, you deserve to drown, you know.
Oh, that is funny. And I have heard that by the year 2100, that maybe from the time that they started saying, you know, the seas are rising, it may be, if they're lucky, 3 inches, being on the high end. So 3 inches or under. I love that.
In other words, you don't have to find the highest peak in Colorado to live, or here in New England, Mount Washington, which is the highest elevation here. You don't have to worry about, you know, the high tide will come up almost to the top of Mount Washington. No, that's not going to happen, folks.
No, it's not. And so, you know, and by the way, you know, going back to the hypocrisy, I've been to Al Gore's mansion in Santa Barbara County. And although it's not close to the ocean, if his predictions are correct, then why in the heck did he buy such a huge carbon footprint mansion right in Santa Barbara on the coast, you know, right near, within a mile of the ocean? I mean, and maybe he wants oceanfront property. That's why he bought so far back.
Anyway, that's getting back to the challenge. So right now, as it stands, you can visit our Facebook page, Camp Constitution, and we'll probably create a separate page maybe for this program specifically. Or go to our website and say, yes, I heard you're on the show here. I want to be involved. And these are the things that you can do. First thing is that you could learn about it. That's the first thing. And go to our YouTube channel. And Debbie has some great videos, Lord Monckton, and we've got some great presentations over the years. So you have a good understanding. You don't have to be a walking encyclopedia, because I'm certainly not. You might be, but I know enough about it to speak about it, articulate it, and to fight it successfully. Then you might consider, hey, I could bring in a speaker. And that's what some of this GoFundMe money is going to help. It's going to help. There's a plastic bag ban being proposed, or there's one already. And we have some great information from our website. We have a great it's a one-page, two-sided flyer with facts on this subject. You could take that. You could even have your own local group and put your, just take the information off it. We don't care. It's not copywritten. And start getting these things out. You could hold public meetings. You can hold meetings in your home. You can just say, hey, look, I'm going to be showing this video on a certain topic at 7 o'clock in my home. We'll have a little potluck dinner and come over and learn about it. And then we're going to visit the town hall. We're going to leave this information off at the mayor's office. We're going to write a letter to the local newspaper. We're going to post stuff on the Facebook pages of, the city of Boston or, whatever, wherever community you're in. These are ways that you fight it. You oppose it. And what's going to happen is the other folks are going to come in and say, if you're having any impact, they're going to start taking it. They're going to be a little upset about it. But that's fine. That means you're making a difference.
And you know, the exciting thing for me, Hal, is that, we've been wanting the youth, normally when we go to a meeting, I'm the youngest person in the room and I'm 50 this year. So, we need younger people to get involved and the Camp Constitution students, campers who came forward, so proud of them from age 13 to 18, so proud of them, 10 saying, I'm concerned about this thing. And nobody knows about it, or hardly anybody knows about it in my community. Our politicians who do know about it, they don't want to talk about it. And it's being implemented in every corner of the United States of America.
That's right.
It does not include private property rights. So I'm so excited that we have a group of young people. And obviously it's growing because, we started off with one student. We ended with 10. Imagine if, we're in front of thousands of young students. We'd have a lot more, and I hope that scholarship fund would just, go up and up. Our goal at this point, Hal, is $10,000, although we will not stop there. And next year at Camp Constitution, we hope to give away $5,000 or more. Hopefully all that $10,000 will be used up to help these students, learn and get educated and have the necessary resources to do YouTube videos or hold meetings in their community. I mean, these are young people. So it's so exciting.
One of the things I've done over the years is I'll visit a town and I'll just evidence of Agenda 21 in this particular town or city. And it could be something like a gigantic check on display from Massachusetts Green Communities. And I talk about it. And what was going on is I do these little videos, I put them on YouTube and, of course, the live Facebook feeds. All of a sudden, these things disappear from the town halls. Anyway, they're catching on, so we better stop doing this. Or you could do a little thing about Complete Streets. Just take your little cell phone and say, hey, I'm here in the town of Nashua, New Hampshire, or the city of Nashua. We're here on Main Street where they have these bike paths and we have this and that. It's not as bad. You still have two lanes on each side and there's not a whole lot of traffic. And I mean, it's 3:30, almost 4 o'clock here. And is the traffic is very minimal. And you could talk about why they're having, what is this all about? And you could go to visit the website called Complete Streets and you'll see the sustainable development. And this is evidence of Agenda 21, or maybe a storefront. There used to be a storefront here called Renaissance Downtown. It looks very, Renaissance, that means we're improving. That sounds good. You go in there, which is no longer. I don't think they're still here in town. But you go in there, and it's all about Agenda 21. And they take an old factory, turn it into a million units, and they have your nice little compact community. They call this a transit community. Now, there isn't any commuter rail here. We're about, 40 miles from Boston, 45 miles from Boston, give or take. And because these trails, these rails are very expensive. I'm talking about billions of dollars, and no one's going to be riding them anyway. Well, it's not going to be worth it. But that's something they want to put here, too. So right now you have...
Yeah, you know, Hal, as if you're not living in the city, like I live in the country, things that are happening out in the countryside under Agenda 21, destruction of clean, green, hydroelectric, renewable energy, vital dams. The destruction of private property rights through the Endangered Species Act, or water rights through the Endangered Species Act, where if you and I are caught, you know, transforming or you know, improving our property, we now need permits. We have to go through these, you know, song and dance and pay all these fees simply to put in, if you're a farmer or a rancher, a pond on your property. This is not the way it used to be. And ever since Agenda 21 has taken a hold in the United States of America, radical environmentalism wins every time. And the individual farmer or rancher or landowner loses. And we have got to stop this, because that is what makes America great, is the idea of ownership. That is why Congress said it shall dispose of the land. It shall, meaning it had to. And it did, and now we have the federal government and local and state governments taking over more and more land. That is not right, and that is not a future that anybody, I don't think, would want to live into.
Well, you know, Debbie, you mentioned rural areas too, and I'm going to be up in Aroostook County, Maine, where Agenda 21 is well underway. They have a depopulation program there, and you go to these like town of Mars Hill, where half the businesses are, the storefronts are shut down. The town of Millinocket, which is not, it's just a little south of Aroostook County. They had two huge mills, and it, you know, employed a lot of people. And of course, with the mills come restaurants and, you know, other service related businesses. These mills are gone. They're tearing them down. But there is a brand new storefront, and I would challenge people when I do a presentation. I said, what is the storefront? What do you think that new storefront is? And someone said, is it a General Dollar or a Family Dollar? I said, it's a good guess. No, it's a park. It's a federal park, because they want to turn this into one big federal park. So they want the federal government to take over all of this, 8,000 square miles of land. Now,
George Herbert Walker Bush, back in June of 1992, at a press conference at the United Nations Rio Earth Summit, the very first one in Brazil, described this as a mammoth plant. And how the things that we have talked about, it gets overwhelming because it is a mammoth plant. And if we're going to have a global governance scheme, which is the ultimate goal for all the planet's resources, so we'll have a new international income based on resources, the available resources on planet Earth. This is why there's a push for a cashless society and Bitcoin and all of that. It is moving us away from individual ownership. And so, you know, it's a mammoth plan. It's a scary plan. And it has been going on, and most people are blind to it. And that's been
Debbie, we got 1 minute.
Part of the challenge.
We got to wrap things up. So for those of you who are listening to this and would like to get involved, visit our website, campconstitution.net. And then we'll have links to the GoFundMe, and we're going to make an impact. We're going to create our own. We're going to have an answer to Greta Thunbergs of the world. Thanks for calling in, Debbie.
You bet. And there's already almost $6,000 or more in that GoFundMe page, even though it says zero right now. So don't be afraid to donate. Do it. And we're so excited to see what this turns into. Okay, thanks, Pat.
All right. God bless you.